美欧谴责中国对加拿大公民的拘押和判决。中国承诺向全球提供更多疫苗，美众议员批评中国政府掩盖新冠起源。拜登将于年底主持民主元首峰会。
各位观众大家好，我是卡拉，欢迎收看美国观察。中国承诺向全球输出更多的疫苗和资金援赠，似乎想与美国争夺终结疫情的领导者地位。中国是否在发动新一波的疫苗外交？美国国会众议院的共和党人近日公布报告，将新冠源头直指武汉病毒研究所，并且呼吁展开全面调查。稍后我们会带来详细的报道。另外，美国观察节目热线已经开通，欢迎您拨打0021-202-920-4990给我们留言，与我们分享您对节目的看法，告诉我们您希望看到的节目内容。一起来关注今天的新闻。中国当局判处加拿大公民麦克斯帕福11年监禁，并且维持对罗伯特谢伦伯格的死刑判决。美国国务卿布林肯和欧盟都立即发表声明，对于中国任意拘押和报复性判决表示坚决反对，并且呼吁立即无条件释放这两人。布林肯国务卿周三发表声明说，美国与国际社会站在一起，要求中华人民共和国无条件立即释放加拿大公民斯帕福和康明凯。布林肯强调，通过任意拘押胁迫外国政府的做法都是完全不可接受的，人永远不能够用作讨价还价的筹码。欧盟驻华代表团新闻信息处周三也发表声明，对于中国丹东法院判处斯帕福有期徒刑11年表示抗议。中国外交部因为立陶宛同意台湾以台湾名义在立陶宛设立代表处而召回其驻维尔纽斯大使，这种外交报复行动接连遭到美欧等国的谴责和关切。美国国务院发言人普莱斯在周二的例行记者会上表示，美国与北约盟友立陶宛团结在一起，并谴责中国的外交报复行为。普莱斯强调，各国都应该在不受外在胁迫的情况下决定自己一中政策的内涵，美国就是这么做的。他还指出，美国支持其他国家与台湾交往。立陶宛总统诺瑟达星期二表示，立陶宛与中国的关系应该建立在相互尊重的基础上，而对话变成单方面下最后通牒，这在国际关系中无法被接受。白宫正式宣布了第一届民主峰会的时间和内容，拜登总统将亲自主持峰会。此前布林肯国务卿也曾经表示将邀请台湾参加峰会。详细情况请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
这白宫在8月11号的上午呢发出声明，宣布拜登总统将会亲自主持这个12月9号跟10号来举办的第一届民主领袖峰会。那么声明当中表示呢，拜登总统在对内已经是重新重振了美国的民主活力，努力让 70% 的美国人接种了疫苗，并且通过了美国救援方案跟基础建设方案。那么对外呢，拜登总统跟民主的伙伴还有伙伴们重建了关系，推动全世界共同对抗人权的侵犯，处理气候危机，打击新冠疫情。此外呢，美国还捐赠了超过1亿剂的新冠疫苗给全世界。那么在星期三的白宫新闻简报会上，白宫发言人沙奇则是阐述了本次民主峰会的细节还有内涵。
The president has said that the challenge of our time is to demonstrate that democracies can deliver by improving the lives of their own people and by addressing the greatest problems facing the wider world. In keeping with this commitment, this morning we announced that in December, the president will bring together leaders from a diverse group of the world's democracies at a virtual summit for democracy, to be followed in roughly a year's time by a second in-person summit. The virtual summit, to take place on December 9th and 10th, will galvanize commitments and initiatives across three principal themes: defending against authoritarianism, fighting corruption, and promoting respect for human rights. Following a year of consultation, coordination, and action, President Biden will then invite world leaders to gather once more to showcase progress made on their commitments.
而美国国务院呢也发出了关于这次民主峰会的声明，声明当中呢引用拜登总统的话说， 民主并非意外发生，我们必须要捍卫它，争取它，增强它，更新它。那国务院说呢，政府还有公民社会以及私人组织的领袖将齐聚一堂，制定更新的民主议程，以及共同应对今日民主政体面临的最大挑战。那么台湾驻美代表处呢，也在当天对做出了回应，说美国将台湾视为重要民主伙伴，我们会继续就相关会议的参与来竞洽美方。而台湾的驻美代表萧美琴呢，在今年的2月就曾经表示过，已经在不同的场合向拜登政府表达参与峰会的期待，而且获得了正面的回应。美国国务卿布林肯则是在今年3月10号在众议院外委会的听证会上表示过，会邀请台湾参与民主的峰会，并且表示台湾是强健的民主政体以及科技重镇。而一位国务院的发言人在8月11号的背景简报会上呢，表示呢，现在正式的邀请还没有发出去，也正在跟双边的伙伴还有公民社会的参与者来进行峰会的讨论。好啦，
好的，感谢姚毅从白宫发回的报道。欢迎继续收看《美国观察》。美国国会众议院外交事务委员会共和党领袖麦考尔众议员这个月初针对他去年公布的新冠病毒起源调查报告发布更新内容。报告最新结论指出，现在有优势证据显示病毒源自于武汉病毒研究所的外泄事故。麦考尔议员近日接受了美国之音的独家专访，再次指责中国政府在新冠病毒大流行病的问题上进行各种掩盖。麦考尔还认为美国已经从这场疫情中惊醒，美中双边关系在未来将会非常紧张。下面来看专访的完整内容。
Joining us today is Republican Congressman Michael McCaul from Texas. He's the ranking member of House Committee on Foreign Affairs. Congressman McCaul, thank you so much for speaking with Voice of America.
No, thanks to you. Thanks for having me.
I would like to start off the report you have been working on for more than a year, the investigation report on the origins of COVID.The lab leak theory was highlighted in your previous report last September, and now in a new report, it further points out it's time to dismiss the wet market as the source of the outbreak. Based on what you have seen and what kind of new evidence that leads you to think it's more likely than not that the coronavirus emerged from a lab leak accident?
Yeah, well, last September, our report came out. We said it was a possibility.Now I believe there's a preponderance of evidence that it did, it was manufactured in the lab and it leaked, most likely accidentally. The evidence we've obtained, you know, since that time, several things. One is that around September, we're starting to see a lot of cases coming in Wuhan to the hospitals. The Wuhan lab actually took their database offline in September, obviously trying to cover it up. We saw the head of the POA, Kim Bio, general, literally taking over the lab in 2019. There were the Military World Games that took place in October, where we have heard testimony, 9,000 athletes.Traveling to Wuhan, saying it was on lockdown, and then many of these athletes leaving Wuhan with flu-like symptoms consistent with COVID. In addition, we had three of the researchers at the lab hospitalized with flu-like symptoms. Finally, it's pretty clear now with open-source documents and papers that were written by this Dr. Shi, or the Bat Lady, withPeter Daszak, that they were involved in this gain-of-function genetic manipulation, attempting to create a very harmful, dangerous SARS-like virus that they could then develop a vaccine for. And then we had State Department cables warning about the safety protocols that were not taken at the lab. We've also found out thatThis should have been done at a BSL-4, but it was done at BSL-2 and 3 labs, not really sufficient to safeguard. And then finally, the WHIV's own director was raising questions about the safety of the lab in September. And then you see millions of dollars being put into the system for additional security measures and to basically air purification, wastewater treatment. It's just very compelling when you look at all the circumstantial evidence in this case.
Without China's cooperation and transparency, do you believe a WHO-led international investigation can really get to the bottom of it?
Well, I think the WHO was very ineffective in warning the world about a global pandemic. They've been very ineffective in investigating this. At the end of the day, the answer from top scientists are sitting in the archives of the Wuhan lab itself that the PRC will not release publicly. I would ask the Chinese government to release those archive records, because that would be the smoking gun, if you will, because if that archived data that they took offline in the middle of the night in September actually directly corresponds to COVID-19, then you've made your case as a prosecutor, which I served for many years. It's incumbent upon the Chinese Communist Party to comply so we don't have this happening again.
Mm-hmm. Chinese state-run media, Global Times, launched a petition and claimed that over 10 million Chinese citizens had signed a petition demanding WHO to investigate for Detrick in the U.S. What's your take on China's rejection and then their new narratives on COVID origins?
Well, they're going to lie and say it was the United States military or blame it on the United States. It's absolutely false. I've looked at a lot of the geospatial satellite data. Something was happening in Wuhan, and according to the athletes that came in that testified about the conditions there and actually contracting a SARS-like virus and taking it back. That was the first super spreader, was actually in September. But they're going to lie about this. And the truth does lie in those archive records, which they probably will never release that. We know they detained the doctors to silence them. We know they destroyed lab samples the cover-up was extraordinary. And, being a prosecutor for many years, you don't cover up something this extensively unless you got something to hide and you're doing something wrong. I can tell you this did not come out of the United States. I think it's very clear, and even Dr. Fauci will tell you it came out of Wuhan.
Mm-hmm. President Biden actually ordered a 90-day review by the intelligence community. And has the Congress been informed about the latest of the investigation?
No, and they have a timetable, we think, by the end of August. I would hope that report would be shared with the Congress. And I know some of this will be classified. My report has a classified annex to it. But I would hope our intelligence community will work with members of Congress really just to get to the truth. And I think they're going to be taking a look at my report and hopefully, in their assessment about what happened. You know, they were taking specimens from bats 1,000 miles away, where a lot of these SARS cases came out of originally, back in 2004. But it was very really playing with fire in a laboratory to take these specimens to the Wuhan lab under inappropriate safety conditions, and then genetically manipulating this to make it more virulent, more transmissible, and contagious.
If the intelligence community, in the end, reached the same thing that you have, what should the U.S. do and what should the world do?
Well, the international community really needs to stand up. And the PRC has defied the WHO and their investigation at every given turn. I think we need top scientists from around the world to have access to the lab, to get access to these database archived records that would establish the truth here. And I think the United States and, we should be looking at sanctions against Dr. Xi and those involved in this very deadly experiment that was taking place. And they need to be held responsible.
You stated before that this whole episode of pandemic really caused America to take a sober look in our relationship with China. As the U.S. now is recovering from the pandemic and seeing what happens, what China has done, How would you describe the future relationships between the U.S. and the PRC?
Well, it's very tense. I talked to, Secretary James Baker. Back in the day, we tried to bring China into the family of nations as a responsible partner. And we tried to work with them to hopefully they could move towards a democracy. And you know what? As he told me, it just didn't work. And here we are, decades later, they have a second largest economy, the greatest global challenge to the United States and our allies, both from an economic standpoint and military standpoint. Their Belt and Road Initiative is across the globe. And I think to your point, COVID woke the American people up. They didn't realize, by the way, that we were so dependent on medical supplies coming out of China, or they corner the market on rare earth minerals, or the advanced semiconductor chip, the Chips for America Act, so we can produce more of these chips that are in everything from your iPhone to the F-35 and to protect our national security here in the United States. These are things that we are looking at in the Congress, and we're also looking at capital flows that come out of the United States and directly fund the PLA itself from the United States. And then finally, the idea that we have American taxpayer dollars going into the Wuhan lab to fund this very dangerous research. I think most Americans didn't know that or understand it, and they don't tolerate that.
Mm-hmm. And that concludes our interview today with Congressman McCaul. Thank you so much, Congressman, for taking your time to share your insights with us today. We truly appreciate it.
欢迎继续收看《美国观察》。中国近日表示，将在今年内向全球提供20亿剂疫苗，并且决定向世界卫生组织 WHO 等三个国际组织主导的新冠疫苗实施计划 COVAX 捐赠1亿美元，用于向发展中国家分配疫苗。详细情况，我们请到记者魏之来介绍。魏之，给我们介绍一下，中国现在是不是在发动新一波的疫苗外交？以及分析人士是怎么评价的？
习近平是在新冠疫苗合作国际论坛首次会议上发表的书面致辞的时候表示的，中国将向世界，特别是广大的发展中国家提供疫苗，积极开展合作生产。那中国外长王毅8月9日是在东盟与中日韩外长会上表示，中国迄今为止已经对外国提供了超过7.5亿剂的疫苗。那未来四个月内将继续向 COVAX 提供1.1亿剂，那今后的3年还会再提供30亿美元国际援助。那但是中国并没有明确的说明这20亿剂疫苗将以捐赠还是出售的形式提供，而向哪些国家以供应，也没有说明这20亿剂疫苗是否已经包含了我们现在看到的已经捐赠出去的或者是出售的疫苗。那专家认为，中国做出的这项承诺呢，是出于多方面的原因。首先，在6月份的时候举行的 G7 峰会上，西方各国做出了承诺，会加大对世界其他国家捐赠疫苗的力度。那其中，美国将向世界92个贫穷国家捐赠5亿剂疫苗，英国承诺捐赠1亿剂疫苗，加拿大承诺捐赠1300万剂疫苗。那中国这次的承诺显然是对西方国家做出的承诺的回应。那另外，专家认为中国承诺明显是为了改善自己在国际上的声誉。我们一起来听一下专家的说法。
I think also this effort at stepping up the Chinese commitments is aimed at overcoming the reputational damage that the Chinese have faced going back to Wuhan and the way that they handled the early phases of the outbreak. But more recently, of course, they are stonewalling the WHO-led investigation into the origin of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And that is leading to suspicion and skepticism, suspicion that the Chinese may be hiding something. And so this move, this diplomatic move, is in that context.
是我们刚才说到这个20亿剂疫苗啊，听起来是一个很庞大的数字，而且像王玉说，未来的四个月向 COVAX 提供一共1.1亿剂的疫苗，这个数字也不小。那么中国有没有可能实现这个目标呢？
根据位于北京的波瑞智咨询有限公司的统计呢，截至8月9日，中国已经承诺向其他国家出售超过10亿剂这个疫苗，那么承诺捐献约8300万剂疫苗，其中有5亿9700万剂疫苗已经达到了接受国家。那这个是这个公司统计的中国总共这个输出的数字。而最近呢，中国的疫情也有所恶化 ，Delta 病毒的变体7月份是迅速在南京市和江苏省扩散。那之后这个月呢，中国的15个省及直辖市也是都发现了 Delta 病毒变体的确诊案例。那10天内新增的确诊超过了是300例。那中国国内对疫苗的需求也是非常的紧迫，所以未来不到半年的时间要再输出至少10亿剂，专家对此是抱持怀疑态度的。我们一起来听一下专家的说法。
I mean, the Chinese are significantly expanding their domestic production capacity for their vaccines.And maybe this is possible. I'm skeptical that they will be able to deliver that volume in that time frame. I just don't think that the production capacity is there and the logistics for delivery. Perhaps it takes them another 6 months to reach that goal or another 9 months. The other dimension for the Chinese is, of course, that the Chinese internally are embarked on a very fast and very aggressive national vaccine campaign, which is essential to reopening their country, to international travel, business back and forth, investors and the like. And so they have passed the halfway mark, 1.4 billion, halfway mark of their population being fully vaccinated. Their target is to hit 80% of 1.4 billion with 2 doses by the end of this calendar year, by the end of 2021. So,Their expanded production of vaccines is going predominantly towards their internal requirements.
好，还有半分钟的时间，给我们介绍一下美国在这方面做的怎么样？
对，美国总统拜登是在8月3日的时候宣布，美国已经向60多个国家捐赠了1.1亿剂的疫苗。而他说呢，根据联合国的统计，这个数字是超过了所有24个国家捐赠疫苗的总和，那这其中也包括了中国。而且拜登总统是特别强调，美国捐赠的疫苗是免费的，也没有附加条件，并不存在胁迫的行为。那么他还说，他在6月份访问欧洲的时候曾承诺的向这个中低收入国家捐赠的5亿剂辉瑞疫苗呢，也是将在这个月的月底的时候开始交付。那么伦敦的
给我们带来的，感谢你因为时间的关系，我们的谈话就到此结束了。感谢你给我们带来的详细报道。不计民生代价严防死守应对新冠疫情的办法在美国似乎行不通，但是选择与病毒共存也不容易。德尔塔变种传播之下，美国车迷的年度盛事南达科他州的摩托车大会仍在8月6号到15号举行，预计有70多万人参加。与会者强调个人享受生活的自由，但公共卫生专家则担心当地疫苗接种率仅为46%，可能引发病毒防控的问题。
I've been to Daytona Bike Week and Oktoberfest, been here, been to a bunch of other rallies. Yeah, a lot of that I don't worry too much about, you know. Happens, it happens.
Last year I didn't get sick at all. There was obviously that concern there about getting sick, but I think you're not going to stop people from living their lives and having fun and enjoying what they're going to do.
Hell no. And I ain't going to either. I've never gotten a flu shot. The last vaccine I got, I was probably 5 years old.
Not really. I mean, it's in the back of your mind. You think about it a little bit, but you got to live your life and enjoy it and have fun still.
I watch my health and I kind of watch myself. I don't go around coughing on people or, you know, it's all about staying healthy, you know.
按照中国女性55岁的年龄退休，美国的弗吉尼亚奶奶可能已经跳了长达46年的广场舞了。可是现在101岁的她仍然在坚持工作，一周出海3天捕捞龙虾，每一次清理100笼，人称龙虾奶奶。弗吉尼亚生活在缅因州，从7岁开始就学习捕捞龙虾，目前仍然没有退休的计划。而她出海的搭档年龄也不小，是她78岁的儿子马克思。一起来看一看。
Hard work, and you got to pay attention where you are, because there's a lot of water out there. There's a lot of thin spots in it too, you know, especially when it's foggy and stuff. You know, you got to pay quite. When it's not, you can get by pretty good. But when you really can't see anything, then you got to know where you are.
Obviously, she's 101 years old. She's still going every 3 days a week. 3 days a week she's down here. She's usually here early in the morning. They go haul, I don't know, 100 traps a day.
I'm going to till I die. It's time enough. People say to me, well, where do you go for it? Because I want to. I'm old enough to be my own boss.
<laughs> 以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们明天再见。